At the Church of a Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, Emperor Constantine's mother, Helena, decided that this is the place, that place in Jerusalem, this is the place where Jesus died and also the place he was buried. She had no biblical reason, she had no historical reason, she had nothing other than she decided, okay, this is the place. Thousands of people throughout the centuries visit this place and went there, but they only find complete spiritual deadness and traditionalism. We too often getting into the same kind of thing. We look for Jesus among the dead. And that I, for example, is religious traditionalism and formalism and man's rules, even denominational regulations, and man's effort and substitute of the flesh. We will never, never find Jesus, living God, among our own effort, our own product. We find him only in the while we worshiping him in truth and spirit, and believe that Jesus is the risen God of all. Historian, when you go to, let's go back. If you're standing on the Mount Olive, which is the east side of Jerusalem, so when you stand on Mount Olive facing toward Jerusalem, facing west, you will see this is the Dome of a Rock right there. Before you get to the Jerusalem, there is the wall, retaining wall, but all these little boxes you see is coffin. It's a tomb. There are thousands of tombs above ground. That's how they do that. There are thousands of tombs there. Now, there is, around the Jerusalem, there's thousands of tombs, almost beyond countless thing, tombs, also including Tomb of Rebecca, Tomb of Absalom, Tomb of David. You won't find Jesus among there either, because Jesus is not there. And you may say, what about the place he was laid? Well, you can call it tomb, but it is not really tomb because he only borrowed it for 3 days and 3 nights. And he said, sayonara, I'm done, and I'm not using it. You can have it back. He's gone. Actually, when you go to Jerusalem, you will find the two locations that they claim, both sides of a historian and the shopkeepers, you know, souvenir shopkeepers, say, well, this is the real place. And the other said, no, this is the real place. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which area that Jesus was buried. The main thing is Jesus is not there. He's risen. That's what we are going to study this morning in chapter 24 of the book of Luke. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we sing, here we are to bow down. Here we are to worship you. Because you are risen God, and you are altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and you are altogether wonderful to us. Not just you are gracious God to us, you are holy God, and you are the one who conquered death. So we praise you, we honor you, we worship you for who you are. Now we are asking you to open our heart to receive what you have for us. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Speak to our heart, Lord. Not from the man's mouth, but from the mouth of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for our president and this country, especially during this election time. Let your will be done. And we pray for your protection and safety for our troops around the world and the law enforcement officers and the firefighters around this community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 24 in the book of Luke, please. Now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. Then as they were afraid and bowed their face to the earth, they said to them, would you underline the next phrase, please? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how you spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of a sinful man and be crucified, the third day rise again. And he remembered they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. We do not know what time Jesus arose exactly, but it was way before early in the morning, and first day of the week. That means Sunday. That's why we have a service, a worship service on Sunday. Some people said, well, you cannot have a worship service on Sunday because it's not Sabbath. Well, we are not going by the Old Testament thing, but we are going by the New Testament, the resurrection day of Jesus Christ. That's the first day of the week. The earthquake and the angels opened the tomb, not to let the Jesus out of the tomb, but to let the witness in. Jesus can go in and out as he wants. It's not for him, rather it's for us. The mandate of the resurrection day is come and see and go and tell. Come and see, go and tell is the resurrection day mandate for the church. This woman came to the tomb with the intention to prepare the body of Jesus Christ for the proper burial, only to discover that there is no more body to prepare. His body is gone. To them, resurrection is not even within their concept, because they couldn't fathom that Jesus rose from the dead all by himself. They were thinking, maybe somebody took him. However, there's a problem. There is this cloth, the grave cloth, or the mummy-like clothing that they wrapped him with the spices and wrapped him all the way to the neck, and they put the handkerchief on his face when they laid him down inside the tomb. And there is a cocoon look-alike, a grave cloth without Jesus inside. It's like a hollow shell, and there's a handkerchief lying on the ground. And they have to wonder, how did these people take Jesus' body, dead body, away from here without disturbing this linen? The question was asked by an angel in verse 4. It was kind of a gentle rebuke to remind jog their bad memory. Remember, Jesus said to you guys many times, he would suffer, he would crucify, and he would resurrect. They were too busy thinking about their own agenda. They were hoping that Jesus would be this successful conqueror against the Roman government, Roman army, rather than suffering Savior. However, they were obedient to the commission from the angel. They ran back to these apostles to tell them about this great news. Before I talk about the next thing, guys, you guys remember the Geico commercial? However, Geico commercial, they say do something, but what's that got to do with the insurance? I don't get it a lot of times. One of the Geico commercial is this lady coming into the dining room. She's wearing the new dress. standing in front of the dress mirror and doing this. And she said over her shoulder, "Honey, do I look fat?" Which is an awful question to ask a husband. Husband standing, sitting there with the newspaper and glue, he's clueless. "Uh-huh, you betcha." I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a long night for you, Baba. Ladies, how the guys pay attention to the you when you talk to something. The same thing here. Guys, 11 of them, are, "Oh, woe is me, woe is us," and then we're all doomed. It's over. Our hope is dashed to the ground. Our Savior is gone. And this lady said, "Well, he's risen." "Yeah, whatever. You're local. You're out the door. You're doing the lunch somewhere. You're not getting this. He's dead." They didn't believe. If you are skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have one challenge for you. Prove it. If you don't believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I say, prove it. Actually, there are a couple of people who took that challenge. One person's name is Frank Morrison, and the other one is Josh McDowell. And they are extremely intelligent people. Frank Morrison was a British lawyer, and Josh McDowell was a legal student and a law student. And they pursued, they choose to demolish Christianity by proving that resurrection of Jesus Christ is nothing more than hoax, nothing more than made-up story. They did the research. You know what happened to them? These two intelligent beings did a study. At the end of their study, they wrote a book. Josh McDowell wrote a book, The Resurrection Factor. And Frank Morrison wrote a book, this book, Who Moved the Stone? These two books became the greatest defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they both became a staunch believer of Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe Jesus Christ's resurrection, I say prove it. Don't say, "I don't believe so." What you're saying has no ground for it. So far, nobody have hard proof to stand against the fact of Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. I'm sure our temple will continue. Last year, remember, there were James Cameron and with the Jewish director, they tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guess what it turned out to be? It was not, they found out it's nothing more than a hoax. To some of you might say, "Well, how can you believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is from the dead?" It's very easy. If you can believe the first verse of the book of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." If God can create the heaven and earth from nothing, guess what? Raising a person from the dead is a cakewalk. To him, just make it happen. Verse 13, we'll move down. "Now behold, two of them were traveling at that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together for all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is that that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?'" Verse 18, "Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company, and who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scripture to us? So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in breaking of the bread. If we are the one who is walking beside these two people, two disciples on the way to Emmaus, I'm sure we could tell they were in depression because they are drooped shoulders and confusion in their face, and as well as the low, hushed tone of voice, because they didn't want to be identified as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ at that point. To them, all the hope was gone for good, and all of that is about to be changed. These disciples knew the messianic prophecy from the Old Testament, but somehow they did not connect the messianic prophecy of the Old Testament with Jesus Christ. To them, it didn't click together. They might have saw the glory of Messiah from the Old Testament. They did not see the suffering servant of the New Testament. They might have seen the crown of the Messiah, coming king, but they did not see the cross that Messiah had to suffer. Like a father who pretend that he doesn't know anything, so the little child have to explain how the toy works, Jesus patiently waiting for them to come to the right moment to explain to them about the Old Testament. I've heard many great sermons in the last 20 years by the many great Bible teachers, commentators. But I wish I could be there to listen how the Jesus expound Old Testament prophecies to these two disciples of Jesus Christ. Beginning with the Genesis, he is weaving the scarlet truth of the redemption of Jesus Christ like a tapestry, and he's weaving this truth and showing them about Jesus Christ. Maybe it might went like this. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In the Leviticus, he was the atoning sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the bronze serpent. In Deuteronomy, he is the promised prophet. In Joshua, he was a captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, he was a deliverer. In Ruth, he was the kinsman redeemer. In the book of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, he was promised king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he was a restorer of the nation. In Esther, he was the advocate. In Job, he was a redeemer. Psalm, he was all in all. In Proverbs, he was pattern. In Ecclesiastes, he was the goal. And in the Song of Solomon, Jesus was the beloved. In the, all the major and minor prophets of all, Jesus is the coming Prince of Peace. These two disciples didn't wait for the sun to rise. Once they realized Jesus is risen, they got up and went back to Jerusalem to tell other friends about the Jesus' resurrection. Let's move down to verse 36, please. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. In the book of John, you will see the doors were shut, the windows were shut because they were afraid. Jesus just showed up in the middle without coming through the doors or windows. To them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt arising in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. Would you underline the next phrase for me, please? A spirit does not have a flesh and bones as you see I have. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, do you have any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the psalm concerning me. And he opened their understanding, and that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all generations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. Even though Jesus told them, peace to you, they were terrified. So he had to show them the nail print on his hands and feet. We've been studying the Bible quite some time, last 6 years, and I told you guys many times, man's work will never reach to heaven. I was wrong. There's one thing reached to heaven. There is a nail print made on hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. That's man's work went up to heaven with Jesus Christ. That's the only man's work is still in heaven. Even though their own Bible, New World Translation, Jehovah's Witness says that Jesus Christ is resurrected in spirit. In verse 39 of chapter 24, in their own translation, is the exact same thing as ours. According to their own translation, Jesus Christ has flesh and bones. Now, would you follow the doctrine contradicting to the Bible? But they still follow the false doctrine. You might want to jot this down so when you have somebody coming to your door on Saturday morning, would you like to receive our Watchtower pamphlet? Be nice to them. Don't slam the door. You're going to go to hell. Be nice to them. However, ask them, you have New World Translation, and I'm sure they will say, yes, we do. Then ask them, would you read Luke chapter 24, verse 39? Does it say that Jesus has a flesh and bone? If they say yes, then ask them, is that what you believe? If they said no, it's in Greek. Usually, whenever they get to the corner, they say, it's in Greek, it's not so. When it's in Greek, the flesh and bone is a flesh and bone. As simple as that. Does Jesus Christ have a physical body like ours? Yes and no. Yes, He has a body shape and has a flesh and bone, but I think his molecule is different than ours. That's why he, when I go like this, guess what? Oh, ouch, that hurt, right? But if he goes like this, he will go through it. How do we know? We just read it. And the book of John, again, explains it. I cannot explain to you, but when I get that heavenly body, like a glorified body, like Jesus, I'll let you know. But then again, you already know when you get to heaven too. So we'll move that. Jesus even ate some fish and honeycomb. When you look at the Greek word, that honeycomb is chocolate chip cookie. Unless God opened our heart, we cannot understand the truth from the Word of God. But to have the God to open our heart, we must come to Him with the humility and desire to learn from Him. If we have a hardy heart, if you come to God with a skeptical idea, with a doubt, God will meet you there. God will remove that doubt from your heart. But if you have a scoffing heart, if you come to Him with an attitude scoffing at Him, He will not meet you. He will shut the door. He will not even talk to you. Until you come to Him with humility, He will not be seen from you. Again, I quote this verse many times. If you seek Him with all your heart, He said, He will be found by you. Let's move on to the verse 50. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hand and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him. Would you underline, please? They worshipped Him. And returned to Jerusalem with a great joy, and they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. When Jesus blessed His people, it's not just a pious wish that I hope everything goes well for you. I hope something works, feel better, you feel better. No. Instead of that, the blessing of Jesus has inherent power within it. Inherent power. And verse 52 shows us that disciples acknowledge that He is God. They were told not to worship anything other than God. They've been living in the Old Testament lifestyle, and they were told, do not worship anything or anyone other than God Himself. And here, they are worshiping Jesus as He was ascending to the heaven. That shows another proof that Jesus is God. And He didn't say, oh no, don't worship me. And when you read the book of Revelation, there is when the Apostle John fell down on his face, tried to worship an angel, do you know what the angel did? Don't do these things, because I'm a fellow servant like you. Worship God. These people were filled with joy knowing their God, Jesus, is risen, and they are going to be the witnesses. Folks, witnessing is not something we do for the Lord. Rather, it's something He does through us if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a great difference between sales talk and the Spirit-empowered witness. People do not come to Christ at the end of argument. So if you try to argue with somebody and they bring them to Christ, that's a fertile effort. If you love them, if you care for them, they will see your love and they will might come to you. They might come to Christ. We can go forth with the authority of Jesus' name, in the power of His Spirit, and heralding gospel of His grace. Let's face a few things, folks. There might be some people who do not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll give you three reasons. See if I'm correct. Until now, you chose not to believe the Word of God, the Bible. So it didn't make any sense to you. Until now, you chose not to know the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So you didn't know the resurrection means that He had to pay for your sins. God is holy God. He cannot let you come in. He cannot let me come into heaven while we are still sinners. Somebody had to pay for that sin, and Jesus took it. An empty tomb is the receipt of that paid in full. Third reason might be, until now, you chose not to follow God because you think that you're a good person and you can make your way to heaven. Whenever I have a chance to witness to the people, and I come to the place where I say, you might be a good person, and you're thinking that you never killed anyone, you haven't done anything bad, quote-unquote bad, so you can make your way to heaven. That's what the Bible says. And their usual answer is, I know what Bible says, even though they don't know. I know what Bible says, but I don't agree. Folks, this is the truth. If this is a perfect truth, and you disagree with the truth, guess who is wrong? Let me think. Right? It's a simple fact. Whenever you argue with somebody who is always right, it proves that you're wrong. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what God's Word says. But if you choose to surrender today to Jesus, you can know the cross, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, took care of all your sins. If you come to Him today, He will say, you're holy. He will say, you're sinless. Not because what you've done is good, because what Jesus done is good. You get to know that. You no longer have to worry about your death. A lot of people are scared to death, literally. A lot of people don't have a hope. A lot of people wonder what's going to happen to me. You get to have hope and love and assurance that comes from God that your eternal life will be in heaven, not in hell. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Please don't move around. This is a very important moment. If you don't understand what I just talked to you about, and if you don't know that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and if you don't know, you didn't know that you need a Savior in your heart to go to heaven, that means you are not a born-again Christian. That means you are not going to be in heaven if you die right now. And don't listen to the devil's whisper to you that you do it tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't let it pass by you. Don't you walk out the door before you commit your life to Christ. And you may say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you have done. And Jesus doesn't care what you have done. If you come to Him with an honest heart and ask God to forgive you, He said, it is forgiven by my atoning sacrifice on the cross. That's why He shed the blood for you, so that you may have eternal life. Don't let this day pass by you without you surrendering your life to Him. Don't let it be just another Easter day you come annual visit to His church, but let this day be the day you come to know Jesus. You surrender your life to Him so that you may have eternal life in Christ Jesus, and let your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. that you may have that assurance, that you may have a hope in Christ Jesus. So you may ask, what do I need to do? Do I need to knock on the door and then for 40 years to receive this salvation? No. Jesus took everything. When the other guy said, do this, Jesus said, it is finished. I've done all. All you have to do, receive Him into your heart as Lord and Savior. And once you come to Him, He will start to change your life. And He will shape and mold you into His image. So I'm going to ask you this. If you don't have Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior in your heart, if you'd like to receive Him into your heart, raise your hand and commit your life to Christ. Do it now. Raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. I see your hand in the back. Anyone else? Not tomorrow. Do it now. Okay, you can put your hands down. Including those two gentlemen, I'm going to ask you, all of you, to pray with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned against you. I realize that my sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I believe that Jesus is my God, my Lord and my Savior. Please come into my heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. And those two gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to come on down, please. Come on down. Go over there, please. This is a miracle of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you one more thing. Close your eyes, bow your head again. Some of you know the truth, but you walked away from God. Because there is a temptation from the world was too much for you, so you walked away from God. But you've been bothered by, and you've been hounded by from the hound of heaven. And the Holy Spirit's been tapping your spirit for a long time. Stop fighting. Stop resisting. Come back to Him. If you like to recommit your life to Christ, raise your hand. If you like to recommit your life to Christ from your backslidden position back to Christ, raise your hand. Do it now. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We are most grateful that you did your wondrous miracle work here today, raising spiritual dead people, these two gentlemen, from their death to resurrection, to their eternal life. We are most grateful, we are thankful to you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and keep peace. And go with God. Jesus is coming back soon. Keep your knees down and heads up.